Thank you, preacher. Thank you so much. And I'm so glad I'm back to this conference. Last year when I came, and honestly speaking, I have been to many missions conferences, but this mission conference, this church, the love and care that I received from this church is completely different. Everyone saying, the work you are doing, Brother Wisdom, is we cannot do it by ourselves. And we really appreciate, we really respect you for what you are doing. And like they were like, just put me on a pedestal or something like that. And I felt myself that, I asked my question to myself, that am I doing what they are expecting from me, that I should be doing? And I'm really grateful for your love and care and for your support. And thank you so much. And I'm glad I'm back this year. I'm ready for the week. Yes, I know I'll be tired, but I'm ready for the week. And please turn with me, if you have your Bibles, to Mark chapter 14, the book of Mark chapter 14. Great message by preacher this morning, in the morning service. And it really touched my heart. It blessed my heart. And we are in verse 3 in Mark chapter 14. And we'll start our reading in verse 3 through verse 9. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she broke the box and poured it on Jesus, on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, but and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the portion of your word we read this afternoon. Lord, I ask you to help me preach. Bring the message that you have laid in my heart. Lord, speak to our hearts, open our minds, open our understanding. And Lord, as we leave this place this afternoon, help us to live for you. Cause us to live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is one of the very familiar passages we know about the anointing of Jesus' body. And there are also different passages in the which is mentioned in all the four Gospels. Like the feeding of the 5,000, it's mentioned in all the four Gospels with a little different view. And the anointing of Jesus' body is also mentioned in all the four Gospels. And if Bible who studies the Bible, or a Bible scholar or a critical reader, if he studies all those passages, he will come to a conclusion that there are many similarities. Like there is a woman, there is an alabaster jar, there is an anointing, and there is a pregnant box. And but if he studies carefully all those passages, he will come to a conclusion, and he will say that there are three separate anointings at three separate locations with three different characters using three different methods at three separate times with four different attitudes being displayed by the observer for many different reasons. I will therefore this afternoon refrain from resolving that matter, and I will bring a message from this passage, and we'll jump on to John chapter 12 as well. And I want to see what Mary did in this passage, in this scene, in this verse, what Mary did for Jesus. This scene is in Bethany, which is just a few miles from Jerusalem, a few days before the Passover. Jesus is soon about to experience the Passion, and he decides to hang out at Simon the leper's house. Simon was probably healed by Jesus of this horrible disease. And I believe that Mary, let's jump back to John chapter 12. And it's always good to have different perspectives. And it's always good to know what different people thinks or different writer thinks. Like if you ask Pastor Muncy about, what do you think about Brother Wisdom? He would say, oh, he's a fine young man. He's a humble boy and he's a good man. And if you ask my sisters back home, I have two sisters, Gracie and Glory. If you ask them, they would say, oh, he's the most irritating, most annoying, most disturbing brother in the whole world. But if you also ask some girls back in the college, they would say, oh, Wisdom is the most handsome, most... I'm just kidding. It's always good to have different perspectives. Let's look at what John says in chapter 12. In verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This is said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Let's jump back to Mark chapter 14. I believe this passage is talking about Mary and Martha. And I believe in this passage, they are having a victory celebration. If we see in John chapter 12, Lazarus was dead and Jesus rose him from the dead. And in John chapter 12, they are having kind of a victory celebration, and they're kind having a fellowship in that house. And we see Jesus on the table. We see Lazarus on the table. And the Bible says there were also men in that room. And while they were having fellowship, while they were celebrating, suddenly a woman came, I believe it's Mary, and she came and she broke an alabaster jar and she poured it on Jesus. And everyone started murmuring against her. Everyone started criticizing her. That did not serve anything good. That was an expensive perfume. When she did that, when she did that act, number one she did is she broke a social custom. The woman of that time, in that age, was not supposed to come where men are having fellowship. She was supposed to stay in the background or behind the scenes. The very first thing she did when she came out into that room, but she broke a social custom. She not only broke a social custom, but she also broke a super costly perfume box. It says it's about 300 pence, which is about $50 in our money. And that $50 constituted 1 year's wage of an average working man. And that was the price of that alabaster jar or that perfume. And this lady, I believe this Mary, she came and she broke it and she poured it on Jesus. And the very moment she did it, everyone in that room started criticizing her. She heard a chorus of criticism which was led by Judas. He said it was a complete waste. It did not serve anything good. It did not put clothes on anyone's back. It did not feed anyone. It did not serve anything good at all. But while everyone were criticizing her, Jesus commended her. While Judas called it a waste, Jesus called it a worship. And in verse 6, if we see, and Jesus said, let her alone, why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. Jesus said, why are you troubling her? She hath wrought, she hath done a good work on me. And not only that, if we read in verse 9, Jesus says, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Jesus is not only saying that you have done a good work on me, he is also saying that you have done such a good work on me that I will never forget, and I will never let anyone forget what you have done for me. And wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that you have done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And here we are 2,000 years later speaking of what Mary did for Jesus.
Amen. Right.
What made Jesus say that to Mary, or what made Jesus commend that about Mary? What did she do that we also can do, that we also can apply in our lives, that we can hear that commendation from God saying, you have done a good work. And I like it so much that I will never forget and I will never let anyone forget what you have done for me. What did she do? The answer is very simple. Look at verse 8. She had done what she could. That's it. She had done what she could. And this afternoon, just I want to bring out three thoughts or three simple requirements from that simple statement. She had done what she could. That all we as Christians, we need to do. And we should be able to hear that words from Jesus saying, you have done a good work on me. When we stand before God and give an account of our life. Preacher said about that dash between our birth date and our death date. From the day we are spiritually born again and the day we die and go to heaven, that phase or that time, we have to give an account to God. And will God be able to say that you have done a good work on me? What we can do? What did Mary do? She did what she could. I just want to point out three simple requirements. Number one, do what you can. Number one, do what you can. If we see Martha and Mary, they are both sisters. Their family was broken. Lazarus was dead. Now he is alive. Their family was broken. Now their family is restored. Both Martha and Mary, they are filled with equal love for God. And Martha, and if we say that we love God, that has to be shown by our actions. We cannot just say that we love God by our lips. Are we saying that we love God by our life? Does it portray through our life that we love God? And Martha is doing her part. If we read in different passages, it would say Martha served, Martha served, Martha served. It shows us that Martha was a practical lady of that time. And she was good in cooking, she was good in serving, she was good in feeding. And she was good in everything. She was a super, practical lady of that time. But what about Mary? The Bible doesn't say anything specific about Mary. I think she was, dumb, just like my sisters. I'm just kidding. Maybe she was thumbs when it comes to getting things done. She didn't even know how to boil water or boil eggs. But if we say that if we love God, we have to show it by our actions. Martha and Mary were both equally filled with that love for Jesus, for what he has done for their brother. Martha is doing her part. Mary has to do her part as well. And Mary suddenly remembers that she has an alabaster jar somewhere hidden. I don't know where she got it from, but she goes to a place where she had hidden that. She brings it. She breaks it and she pours it, she spills it on Jesus. And while everyone said that was a waste, Jesus called it a worship. I want us to notice that what Mary did was already in her possession. She did not say that I have to do something for Jesus. Let me go and buy this thing. Let me go and learn something. Let me go and get something for Jesus. What she did was already in her possession. Are you doing what you can? I remember during the Christmas time, I used to go to my dad. Me with my sisters used to go to my dad and ask him for some money. And he used to, for buying some gifts, for Christmas gifts. And he used to give some money. We used to go to the store and buy some gift for my dad. And we used to go in the Christmas morning. And we used to write a card on that thing and from Wisdom, Grace, and Glory to our dad. And we used to go to our dad and say, Dad, this is the gift that we bought for you with your money. No, we didn't say that, but we said, Dad, this is the gift that we bought for you. You know what we were doing that morning, Christmas morning? We were just giving back Dad what he has given us first.
Amen. Right.
What God expects from us,
right,
he has already given us.
Right. Right.
Are we doing what we can? what he expects from us, it's already in our possession. Are we doing what we can? If we remember the story of Elisha and the widow. The widow came to Elisha and said, the creditors are come and they are about to take my sons away. My husband died and he left a huge debt on us. And the creditors are come to take my sons away and enslave them and make them work and get the money from them. Elisha asked the widow, what do you have in your house? She said, thine handmaiden had nothing but just a small pot of oil. And she is even embarrassed to mention that. And Elisha said to the widow, tell your sons and tell them to borrow barrels from your neighbors and tell them not to borrow a few. And they borrowed the barrels. They went inside the room. They shut the door and started filling those barrels. And the Bible says that each of the barrel was filled and they sold it. They paid off the creditors and lived for their life. What is that do you have in your house? If you remember the story of Moses, God asked Moses, I want you to lead my nation. I want you to deliver my people. Moses gave several different excuses. Brother Andrew Wilder shared that in the Sunday school hour this morning. The giving excuses. He gave many excuses. And God asked, what do you have in your hand? He said, this is just a piece of wood, Lord, that I broke about a few years ago. And I'm still using it to gather my sheep and chase away the wolves. This is just a piece of wood, Lord. God said, put it down. And that rod became the rod of God. What is that do you have in your hand? What is that do you have in your house? If we remember David, he came to the place where the giant Goliath is standing. And he said, I can do something about this. He just had a slingshot and a few smooth stones. And he killed that giant Goliath. What is that do we have in our house? What is that do we have in our hands? What God expects us is already in our possession. I still remember the story that Preacher Seiler, Pastor Jerry Seiler, shared last year about a small little girl. She was walking by the seashore and the few fishes were, there were many fishes that came and they could not get back into the water. And this little girl started picking one fish at a time and throwing back into the water. And there came a man. And he yelled at that girl and said, hey girl, what are you doing? And that girl said, I'm trying to save their lives. I'm trying to put them back into the water. And that man said, but you can't save them all. You can't save them all. There are many. There are plenty of fishes on the lying on the seashore. You can't save them all. I love what that girl said. I can save this one. I can save this one. I can save this one. Are we doing what we can? Number one, she did what she could. Do what you can. Number two, do all that you can. The Bible says in verse 3, we see, she broke the box and poured it on his head. The alabaster jar was saved in such a kind of a clay box that if it was not stored in a container, like if we take the cap and use some and fill and store it for later, the Bible says she break it and she poured it on Jesus. That was a very expensive jar, expensive perfume. She might have saved it for her marriage. She might have saved it for her old age, that she could sell it and live off it. But she broke it and she poured everything on Jesus. Are we holding back drops? Is it not that because we held back drops and people are not being blessed? Is it not that we hold something tight and we are not pouring out all? And people are not being saved, or people are not being blessed, or people are not being reached with the word of God. It's a tendency that we give up so easily. Are we praying all that we can, that we want someone to see being saved? Are we praying all that we can, or are we getting tired praying? If you remember the story of the widow, that was that just came and put just two mites. Jesus was standing by the treasury, and he was looking at what everyone is giving. And there came many governors, rich men, businessmen. They gave their share, they gave their offering, they gave their tithes in that box. And Jesus was watching. And there comes a widow, and she just puts two mites in that box. And Jesus said to that widow, the value of what you have given is more than what everyone else has given. You know why? Because she gave her all. Are you doing what you can? Are you doing all that you can? Are you doing it now? Do what you can, do all that you can, and do it now. If we just imagine the resurrection morning, if we see the three ladies were going to anoint Jesus' body, and if we just step in front of them and ask, hey ladies, where are you going? And they would say, our Lord died the other day and he was crucified, and the Roman soldiers put him in the tomb, and we could not anoint his body that day before he died. And now we want to go and request the Roman soldiers that they might roll the stone and we may enter in and we may anoint his body. By the time they reached there, the stone was already rolled, and Jesus already rose from the dead. The tomb was empty. By the time they went to anoint Jesus' body, it was too late. If Jesus' body was not anointed at this time, just before the death, and in Jewish culture, a Jew, his body had to be anointed before or after the death. If he was sick and about to die, his body had to be anointed, or right after his death, his body was to be anointed. If at this time his body was not anointed, his body would never have been anointed. Are you doing what you can? Are you doing all that you can? Are you doing it now? And I want us to turn back to John chapter 12 again, and I'm through. In John chapter 12, if we see in verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. If we see, I believe Mary did everything in a hurry. She did not think about doing this. She did not plan about doing this. And she just suddenly wanted to do this. She was compelled out of love, and she just did it. If she was prepared, she would have brought a towel with her. But here we see that the reason why I read both the passages is because Mark says Mary poured the ointment on Jesus' head. And John says Mary poured the ointment on Jesus' feet. I don't know what happened. It might have happened that she might have poured the ointment on Jesus' head. The oil might have traveled all throughout the body. But before the oil touched the ground, Mary prepared a towel out of her hair and wiped that oil. A hair of a woman is considered as her glory. And when the moment she did that, she is giving her glory to God. And notice what the Bible says in the last part of verse 3. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. She gave her glory. She poured out herself to God. And the house was filled. That means she was filled with the odor of the ointment. Whatever we pour out on Jesus is coming back to us. Whatever we empty ourselves on God, he is going to fill us with his love, with his blessings, with his care, with his provision. Amen. Are we doing what we can? Are we doing all that we can? And are we doing it now? Thank you for having me. Thank you, Pastor, for giving me this time. May God richly bless you. Amen.